Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish on Tap, a podcast about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300. And today, we're going to break down yet another Notre Dame Fighting Irish victory against BYU 28-20 out there in Sin City, Las Vegas. And then we're going to get into this week's matchup against Stanford, a home game against a team that, no matter which way you cut this game, there's no way we lose it. They did play a great game against Oregon State, but we'll get into Stanford a little bit later in the show. So as you all know, this past weekend, Notre Dame traveled to Las Vegas. They had the Shamrock Series game. Both teams had really cool jerseys. Obviously, it's a bigger event than just the football game. A lot of fans traveled to it. It looked like there was a lot of people at the game, and the game itself was crazy. So statistically, like, Michael Meyer, even without stats, like, even if he didn't have the stats to back it up, by far the best tight end in all of college football. On the evening, he had 11 catches, 118 yards, and two tutties. And Drew Pine looked good again. He looked good running the football. He looked good throwing the football. And then again, as we've talked about the last few weeks, the rushing attack from Estime, Diggs, and Tyree all combined to have Notre Dame over 200 yards. They didn't find the end zone, any of them, even Drew Pine when he ran the ball. But if you remember at the end of the game, after we got the ball back, Logan Diggs and Estime and those guys were all contributing to seal the game, put the game away, because it was a closer game than an 8-point game, especially at the end. Like, we went up big in the first half and everything was going our way. And then in the second half, we just really couldn't find points, and BYU kept scoring to the point to where it was 25-20. And then obviously we find a late field goal and we get the stops that we need. But defensively, another great performance from this unit. I think anytime you go up against an offense that averages 30 plus points per game and you're able to hold them at 20 flat, and they really made stuff difficult on quarterback Jaren Hall. It was not an easy outing for him. He finished the evening with 9 completions on 17 attempts and 120 yards with 2 touchdowns and a pick. And like we've said over the last few weeks, when you start the season 0-2, you can only go up from there, right? So they win 3-3 on the bounce, and then they go into Stanford with an opportunity to win 4. Of all the games that we've played this season, I think offense, defense, this was the most complete game. Obviously, you're probably saying, like, well, why are you saying that? You know, they only scored 28 points. But I think we saw even parts of the pass and the rush being successful for Notre Dame this, you know, particular game. And then, too, you match that with a solid defensive performance from guys like Brandon Joseph, Jason Adamolola, Isaiah Foskey. Prince Colley got in there and got his first career sack. That was a great moment. Tariq Bracey had a couple tackles and a tackle for loss. Like, the amount of people that have been contributing week in and week out for Notre Dame in order to get this team in a better position have been in large numbers. Like, on offense, too. I haven't even talked about him yet, but Jaden Thomas. Jaden Thomas, the young receiver on the day, he finishes the game with 3 catches, 74 yards. He had a touchdown. He had a mossing. Like, he looked like a seasoned vet out there playing at Allegiant Stadium out there on an NFL field, which I'm assuming probably the first time he's played in a stadium of that size. I'm really excited at what the rest of the season holds for Notre Dame. I think, all things considered, yeah, it sucks that you lost the first two, but you still have an opportunity to win anywhere from 8 to 10 games. You have 2 great opponents that you'll play for the rest of the schedule. Like, you play USC and you play Clemson. And those are opportunities to help boost what bowl you get into. And probably the best that we can do is a New Year's Six Bowl. And that's if everything goes right. That's if they win the rest of their games and some other stuff goes our way. But you still want to be able to finish the season in a positive manner. And I think the way they handled their business out there in Las Vegas was a preview as to what we're going to see from this team for the rest of the season. I truly do believe that this is a team that can get to 9 wins. 10 wins is going to be tough because then that means you got to win 10 in a row. But I do think 9 is the ultimate settling number for wins regular season, obviously, because you'll get the bowl game. So you have a chance to win 10 with the bowl. But the way they're growing into this season, we're 5 games in, but about 6, 7 weeks in. So some teams have played half of their games. We are one short of that. And we got 7 games left. You have opportunities to go out there week in and week out and continue to prove that this is a team that is getting better and that they will be ready for future years when we have better recruits, because you know the recruiting classes for the next few years are up there with the best of them. And obviously, Marcus Freeman, it's his first full season as a head coach. So maybe a little bit of tampered expectations. I don't really think anyone thought we were going to go to the college football playoff this year. Obviously, a season that you play Ohio State and Clemson, you figure that you're going to lose at least one, if not maybe both of those games. But the way I look at it is they went out there, they did their thing in Vegas. It was the hangover game, if you will, because of the video. They had pretty decent jerseys. The black on BYU looked nice as well. And like I said, the environment looked like a phenomenal environment for our young players to play in. And that's what college football is all about. College football, as much as we want to, complain about wins and losses and all this stuff, college football is about the player. The player is the program. And at Notre Dame, I think we have a young and hungry group of players, and I'm excited to see them continue to grow into the college game, because so far it's been a pleasure to watch these last few weeks as the team starts to perform better. You think about games like the North Carolina game, you think about the game this past week against BYU, and you look forward to a game against Stanford, who Stanford got walked off on like the last play of the game against Oregon State after controlling the game for the entire game. So I think to get to the halfway point in the season and have an opportunity to, no matter what, be 500 and most likely be 4-2 is the only thing that you can ask for. And well, obviously not at the start of the season, but the only thing that you can ask for, given the considering what has happened so far in this season. But you just have to be able to lick your wounds and continue to fight, and that's what this team has been able to do. I think the attitude that Marcus Freeman has had on the sideline, in the locker rooms, after the games, has been a very positive attitude, and I think that this team is starting to play more for him, because the first few weeks we didn't really have an identity offensively. We looked so bad, and we've been able to find an identity on offense. Obviously, the running game has been established at a way higher level, and I think that as things continue to go throughout this season, you'll see the balanced attack continue for this team, because the balanced attack is the games that we see that we have 28 points or that we have 45 points, and that Drew Pine is moving around in the pocket and moving around behind the line of scrimmage to create time for his receivers. And even when he's not doing that, he's able to tuck it and run. So, yeah, I all in one breath, right? All in one breath. But I tweeted it on Saturday when I was watching the game, and I said, well, it looks like Notre Dame football is fun to watch again. And then, of course, right after I tweet that, the Cougars of BYU go on like a 20-0 run in the game. And I'm just like, oh, great. Why did I say that? But if I go back and look on the offensive side of the ball, the player of the game, it's easy. It's got to go to the best tight end in the nation. It goes to Michael Meyer for 118 yards, 11 receptions, 2 touchdowns. Cannot wait to see what NFL team is lucky enough to have Michael Meyer as their tight end next season. If he does go pro next season, maybe we'll be able to keep him here another year. I saw people on Twitter saying that we're going to all have to put our money together and start an NIL just to keep Michael Meyer in South Bend for another year. Whatever I can do to help to make that happen, I'm all the way here for. But on the defensive side of the ball, I think I'm going to go with Jack Kaiser. So 4 total tackles, 1 solo, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss. I forgot what quarter it was in. Maybe it was the third or the fourth quarter, where he had an incredible pursuit on a play close to the goal line. And Jack Kaiser is not like a physically imposing linebacker. He's not an overly fast linebacker. He really doesn't have any of the intangibles that you really think of when you think of great linebackers in college football, but he somehow finds a way to get it done for us week in and week out. Maybe not to an All-American level, but he does definitely do a respectable job. And then on special teams, I will go Blake Group. 2 for 2 on his field goals. Pretty simple day. Made them both. Added 6 points to the total for us. And we win the game by 8 points. So it works out for me. We win a game. Kicker's perfect. Kept all the kicks in bounds. Not much more you can ask for from the kid that particular evening. But like I said, midway point of the season, sixth game of the season, on the schedule we have Stanford. We're at home at Notre Dame Stadium, and it's a night game. It's a night game in the fall, assuming the air will be brisk. Going into this game, Notre Dame is favored by 9, or is not favored by 90. Notre Dame is favored by 1,000, but Notre Dame is 90.3% on the FPI on ESPN to win this game. And then the spread is Notre Dame -17. The money line is -800, and the over-under is 53.5. Stanford is one of the worst teams in all of college football. They have a good quarterback. I'll give them that. But their only win on the season came against Colgate. Colgate is clearly not a Division I college football team. They play Division I college basketball, and that's good for them in that regard. But they are not a reputable program, maybe an FCS, but definitely just a schedule filler. And, Stanford's probably sitting there thinking, damn, we put 41 on Colgate. We also only gave up 10 points. Maybe it'll be a good season for us. And then, they get the fucking murderer's row. They play USC, they play Washington, they play Oregon, and then they play Oregon State. And they lost all four of those games. Oregon State, obviously the most heartbreaking of those, probably the one of the most complete games they've played all season, as they were leading for almost 90% of that game, and most of that game it was by more than one possession. But Oregon State found a way late to walk it off on them. It was the last game of the night, and me being a degenerate, I actually had Oregon State +6.5, and I want to say my bet was going to win by a half a point regardless, I think, something like that. Or no, it was 27-22, and they missed the 2-point conversion. So I think I was still going to win my bet because I took the +6.5. But it's still an electric thing to see close out your night after a full day of watching college football. And if you look at Stanford, like, they're led by their quarterback Tanner McKee. Take a look at his numbers on the season. He had a pretty good game last week, from what I can remember. I actually, being a degenerate, watched a good majority of this game. And yeah, I got Oregon State live +6.5 because they were definitely favorites going into that game. But on the season, Tanner McKee, 98 completions out of 154 attempts, 1,249 yards. The completion percentage is good for 63.6. He has 10 touchdowns, 5 picks, but he has been sacked 16 times in 5 games. So, opportunity to get after him in the pass rush, and what a pass rush to do it, right? Like, if we can get the pass rush in his face often and early, I think it shuts everything down for them, because this is a game that they're coming into looking at our secondary like, okay, maybe we'll be able to exploit some matchups. The secondary is probably the weakest of the units on the defense, on the defense. And what our secondary needs in order to have a good day, I think, against a quarterback like this, like a pro style quarterback in a pro style offense, is to have a pass rush that gets after it with four. So we don't need to blitz people. We don't need extra people on the pressure that are off on the coverage, because he does have a good arm and he is a decent quarterback. I'm not going to call him a world beater, but he's definitely good enough to stuff the stat sheet and get a couple hundred yards. But the way I look at it is, you stop Tanner McKee early, you make Stanford run the football, I know on the season their leading rusher is averaging 4.1 yards a pop, and then they also have one that's averaging 6.9 yards a pop, but that is their backup running back, Casey Philkins, the starter. A lot more carries, 82 carries, as opposed to EJ Smith's 30. So maybe we'll see a little bit of both. You never really know. I'm not an expert in Stanford football. I just so happen to be home to watch the game and a little bit of a degenerate to place a bet on the game. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, there's no way that Stanford is about to beat Oregon State. And it almost happened. It came down to literally like the last play of the game. And here we are. But it's more about us than it is about them for this game. I think that the way it should be looked at is if we go in there and do what we're capable of doing on offense and do what we're capable of doing on defense, this is a game that we can win comfortably in a game that. I mean, I don't really like taking spreads that are minus 17, but they're possibly a good bet for that. I'll get back to you on that. I'll do a tweet about it. But this Notre Dame team has been primed for just like an ass kicking. Like they were pretty close to just swamping North Carolina. North Carolina obviously came back on the scoreboard. And then same with BYU. You go up like three scores in the first half. And then in the second half, you kind of just fall off. And it's unfortunate. You're able to hold on and you're able to win in advance another week in this brutal schedule, which I saw Phil Steele said that we've had the toughest schedule in all of college football, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I just think that it's always going to be more about us than them in a matchup like this. Like, 17-point favorites, 93% on the FBI. Like, we haven't really had that like breakout game or that game where we go off and score 45 and maybe they only score 14, like we win by 30 points. And I think this could be a game that we end up winning by 2-3 possessions, if not more. Like, I know that's gonna sound arrogant because 2 or 3 possessions is still pretty much a blowout in college, but I think that we definitely have been trending upwards to this point in the season. I'm really excited to see what Drew Pine can do against this defense. They do send a lot of pressure, so expect a lot of pressure to come Drew Pine's way and expect Drew Pine to take off with his legs and create space with his own, athletic ability and get a couple yards here or there. But the way we're able to run the football, the way we've been able to distribute the ball in the passing game to multiple receivers and a tight end on different weeks, it has been refreshing to see. And the team is finally growing into itself at this point in season, as you hope they would about halfway through the season. But for this game on offense, I would have to say the key player to this game is gonna be Drew Pine. I want to see a 300-yard all-purpose from Drew Pine game. And I'd also like to see 3 touchdowns. He could have one on the ground. That'll still count as well. On defense, I think I'm going to go to the secondary for this one. I'm going to go to Brandon Joseph, the last line of defense in that secondary. And on that defense against a guy who likes to throw the deep ball, a guy who is going to get his yards and going to probably have over 200 yards. But let's just not let him beat us for the deep one, and let's try to keep everything in front of us. And obviously, with Joseph playing at the safety position, he is pretty much the captain of that ship. I would like to see him create a turnover, whether it is a fumble or interception for this game. And then special teams wise, it's not really a game where I'm like, we're going to need an extra, or we're going to need a, kick return for a touchdown or something like that in order to win the game. But I know that I would like to see a quality game from the kicker, from the kicking game and Blake Group, quality return game as well. So, just be a well-balanced team because special teams could make the difference down the stretch. And it's always good to do, get those repetitions in and become better at it week in and week out. For my score prediction, I'm honestly going to go. I'll go 35 to 14. I think that we find five touchdowns in this game. We end up covering in this game. I don't know which side on the over under is the better side. I think this has the potential to be maybe a lower scoring game. I don't really know how Stanford's offense is going to score on us. And then we'll probably have longer drives because Stanford's defense, while maybe not great by the numbers, has shown that they can get stops and get off the field when they need to. For the score prediction, like I said, 35-14. Offensive player of the game, I said Drew Pine. Defensive player of the game, Brandon Joseph. It's getting exciting. It's been a better season or a better run on the season so far. We've been able to reel off three wins in a row, and this week we're looking to make it four. And I really do believe that no matter which way you look at it, Notre Dame gets their fourth win of the season this weekend at home against Stanford. The game this week actually is a night game. The game kicks off at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern time. Tickets are only as low as $50. The game is going to be on NBC and Peacock. And then, of course, after the game, we'll be back with you guys to recap, obviously, how the game went. Hopefully, it's another Notre Dame victory to extend the streak to four games. But win, lose, or draw, we'll be back with you guys on the other side to get you guys all caught up with everything that happened against Stanford and then get you guys prepared for what we have on the other side of Stanford, which is UNLV. But again, this was Irish on Tap presented to you by OnTap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300, and you can follow our main account at OnTap Irish. We really do appreciate you for joining us on this week's episode of Irish on Tap. We'll be back to you guys next week. Like I said, on next week's show, we'll be breaking down what happens here in this Stanford game, and then we'll get you guys ready for the UNLV game. Really do appreciate you for listening, and go Irish.